So as Dave mentioned earlier, I'm Mark Johnson, and I'm doing the message here today. This, like Dave said, this is my first time. Thanks for reminding everybody that I'm a rookie. That's awesome. Dave asked me to talk for about 30 minutes. Last time I timed myself, hour and a half. But I'm from the Midwest, and I can talk really fast. You may not, if you've never lived anywhere else, you don't know how fast we talk. I lived in Alabama during my youth for about 2.5 years, and they were like, son, slow it down. You know. So, we'll come in closer to 30 minutes. Starting out, I want to really keep things simple today. Have you ever noticed that sometimes simple advice, a simple philosophy, a simple way of living can be best? In my personal life, I quickly thought of three examples of how simplicity have served me well. Years ago, I was a competitive distance runner. Use your imagination. I was. At one point, I had a stress fracture in my lower right leg, and I was just overwhelmed about how am I going to get back into shape after the cast comes off and after I heal. And I got this very simple advice from my running buddy, Alan. He said, Mark, just put one foot in front of the other. And he actually gave me a little wind-up toy. It was a pair of running shoes, and you wound it up, and simple advice. Many years later, when my wife Carol and I, my now wife Carol and I, were attending pre-marriage counseling, this is 32 years ago, a pastor named Larry Hickel gave us simple advice. He said, Mark, Carol, it's all about the commitment. And that's really served us well. As I thought about this morning, I was thinking, she still loves me. She married a guy with a rock star mullet. True. She's not in it. True. And she still loves this. So the commitment. Just a third example. My younger sister, Chrissy, is a kindergarten teacher. Kindergarten is important. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. In 2003, there was a very simple book written, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, by Robert Fulghum. The author gives us some examples. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some. Think some. Draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Moving away from some personal examples to some vineyard examples. So we're part of the larger vineyard movement. And I've been pondering during this past Advent season, I've been pondering the simplicity of our greater vineyard movement. I love how our founders, including John Wimber, kept things simple and really set an example of simplicity for us. If you're not aware, this little church of ours is part of this big movement, the Vineyard Movement. Globally, there's a total of more than 2,400 churches in 95 countries. We have 550-plus churches in the USA. These statistics are straight out of the Vineyard website, so if you have different statistics, not mine. Anyway, John Wimber and the other founders of the Vineyard Movement wanted to keep things simple. John Wimber spoke of the main and the plain. Wimber was talking about the Bible. According to Wimber, we are to stick to the main things taught in Scripture and the things plainly taught in Scripture. And those main things and plain things must define our principles, values, and vision and purpose of our churches and the very way that we do church. Simply, Wimber was stating that we, the Vineyard, are a Bible-based church. And if you encounter people who haven't heard of the Vineyard, and the Vineyard isn't that well known in this part of the Midwest, you can assure them it's a Bible-based church. Many, many years ago, when my wife Carol and I first started attending a Vineyard church in Duluth, Minnesota, our in-laws, Carol's parents, Ordine and Dorothy, well, they're mainstream Presbyterians. And they asked Carol and I, what is this Vineyard thing? It's not a cult, is it? We assured them, no, we're a Bible-based movement, and we're just looking to do the stuff that that Jesus did. We very simply want to follow the example of Jesus. Now, when Carol and I moved to southeastern Wisconsin from Duluth, Minnesota, we'd been going to the Vineyard for a long time. We loved the Vineyard. We came down here and we thought, well, we don't want to worship the Vineyard. So before we rush into another Vineyard church, let's do some church shopping. And if any of you have moved from community to community, that's what you do. You church shop. And so we tried all kinds of churches in this greater area. I won't mention all of them. I'd probably forget some, but we tried all kinds of churches. And we just really came back to the Vineyard because it just really speaks to us. And this little church here just really speaks to us. The motto of our little Vineyard church is a community of people learning to love God and love our neighbors. And if you've been here listening to Dave and Rebecca preach, you've heard them put this in other terms. They've talked about living vertically and horizontally. So using the cross that Christ was crucified upon gives us a visual for living vertically and horizontally. And this morning, we're going to be delving into that a little bit more. I believe that one way to look at spiritual wellness is to look at living vertically and horizontally and doing that well. Jesus puts this in words in the greatest commandment. Mark 12, verses 28 through 31. Just to summarize, in that passage, Jesus tells us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Living vertically is about loving God. Living horizontally is about loving our neighbors. You with me? Cool. Today, as Dave mentioned, we're starting a new series to kick off the new year. The series is about wellness. And today's topic, again, is spiritual wellness. I submit to you that spiritual wellness is about living vertically and horizontally and doing that well. And I'd like to break that down a little bit, but before I do that, let's pray. Dear God, as I'm standing up here today, all I want is for everybody here to be touched by you. The world doesn't need more Mark. The world needs more Jesus. And God, I would ask you to help everybody that's here today to put aside the distractions of the world and to just open their hearts to hear from you, God. And God, I just ask you to make that happen. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just fill this room. Help each one of us to hear from you, God. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer. Amen. So living vertically in relationship with Jesus. So let's go back and look at that first part of our church's motto, a community of people learning to love God. To be spiritually well, we are pre-programmed to love God. As God created us in our mother's wombs, we were pre-programmed to love God. In other words, we have an innate need to satisfy this Jesus-shaped hole in our lives, in our being. According to Scripture, we're called into relationship with Jesus. We're a Bible-based church, so we keep referring back to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So to pursue a relationship with Jesus, I would submit that there are five simple things we can do. You could edit this list. You can add to this list. I like this list. I think this is a good list, and I trust that God, as I was preparing today, gave us a good list. Number one, accept Jesus as your Savior. To pursue a relationship with Jesus, to live well vertically, it's important, essential, critical, that we accept Jesus as our Savior. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, and you want to, or you're even thinking about it, before you leave today, please talk to one of your Vineyard pastors, Dave, Rebecca, Greg, Heather, Adrian, or you can speak with a member of our prayer team that prays in the back of the church toward the end of our service. What does it mean to accept Jesus as your Savior? It means surrendering. It means you stop living life like this, that you want to start living life like this, open-handed, open palm, palms up. I believe that so much, and I embraced that years ago, so that now when I pray in my relationship with Jesus, I pray palms up. God, I surrender. Surrendering is not easy. With a lot of things in our faith, it requires doing it again and again. I want to offer personal examples, but some of them get me a little choked up. Carol and I have experienced surrender over and over again as we parented one of our sons. We've been through 10 years of ups and downs, and so many times, the only solace I've found is by surrendering our son to God in prayer over and over. And things are not looking great right now, so I'll keep doing that. And I'll just keep doing it. And it brings me peace. It doesn't look like it right now, but it does. Believe me, it does. All right, number two, pursuing a relationship with Jesus, carving out time for Jesus. Are you carving out time for God in your life? That's hard too. Surrendering's hard, this is hard as well. We are busy, 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 busy. It's been decades since I realized that America's mantra was, man, am I busy. Let's compare how busy we are. But one victory for sure for all of you in your busy lives. Hey, you're here today. You showed up. And as my high school, amen. And for some of us who traveled back from Ohio, it's something that we're here today. Yeah, so you're here today, and that's half the battle. My high school history teacher taught me that many years ago. Showing up is half the battle. You're on your way to an A because you're sitting in the chair. Let's see where that goes from here. Showing up is half the battle. Beyond the time that you're investing with God here this morning, are you carving out time for Jesus during the rest of the week? I'm just going to leave you with that thought, and I'm going to be brief here because there's quite a bit to cover with this topic. But if you don't know this, I want you to know it this morning. I learned this a few years ago. It was news to me. I love how within our faith we can just keep learning and learning, even when you're mature like I am. Older. I don't know how mature I am. But there's this one thing. I'd like you to ponder the fact that being overly busy in life is actually a sin. You know, we think of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You know, we've got some great words to live by. It was news to me a few years ago. Hey, just being overly busy, so busy that you can't carve out time for God, that's a sin. So that, you know, if that's something that you need to pray about, by all means, pray about that. It's real. It's real, and it's something I think we need to come to grips with. Moving on to the number three on our list, to pursue a relationship with Jesus, read Scripture. Like I said earlier, we are a Bible-based church, so we rely on the Bible. Here are three ways to get more out of your Bible. Some of you are Bible scholars compared to me, and maybe you don't need this advice, but I think some of these things can be helpful. Have you read your Bible all the way through? As we get into this new year, that's something to think about. I'm not going to put the word resolution on it. We've got enough resolutions, like getting to the gym for me. Got a lot of resolutions, but have you read the Bible all the way through? If you haven't, and you'd like some help, consider one of the many read-through-the-Bible guides that are available. One resource that I learned about recently is a website called navigators.org. You might want to write that down. If you go on that website, navigators.org, you can click on the tab, Bible Study Resources, and find some tools for reading through the Bible. Secondly, reading Scripture. Do you take notes during the sermon on Sundays? I mean, you know, the good sermons, the Dave and Rebecca sermons, or the Hannah sermons, the Sebastian. Do you take notes? Think about it. Why? Maybe you're going to hear a Bible verse that moves you, because that's where the really good stuff is. That's where the Scripture is. Write down that Bible verse, and when you get home later on Sunday, later in the week, go back to your notes and look up that Scripture. Read it in context. Read the stuff that comes before and the stuff that came after. Who's actually speaking there and who are they speaking to? That's a great opportunity to just take something you heard on Sunday and explore it further. Number three, have you thought about your Bible for triage? As a first aid kit for the stuff that happens in your life. If you're old school, you can go to the index in the back of your Bible, and the really well-produced Bibles have fabulous indexes on all kinds of topics. Or on your phone or your tablet, use a Bible app like YouVersion. That's just one of many Bible apps that you can use on your phone, and you can search the Bible easily. Boy, I really need help with something. Or use the Google machine on your computer and search by keyword. Like, oh man, my best friend's dad just died. Oh, I don't know what to say. Well, in Google or in your Bible app, search grief. Grief. What does Jesus say about grief? I need some help here, because I want to say something to my friend, and I really want to be helpful. I don't want to just say some platitude. I really want to be helpful. So that third thing, using your Bible as triage, as a first aid kit for your life when you're going through junk. All right. So in pursuing a life with Jesus, we're going to move on to number four on our list, talking with God through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 say, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here I want to be brief, because how can you add to that? I certainly don't want to add to it, but let's break it down a little bit. What in your life is prayer worthy? when is it okay to take your junk to Papa God and ask for his help? The scripture tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Church, what does Jesus mean by anything? Anything. Awesome. Yes. Your friendships, your dating life, your marriage, your sex life, your parenting, your finances, your education, your work, your fitness activity, anything. Church, what does it mean by in every situation? Awesome. So before you have an important work meeting, a quick prayer in your office, before you call that friend who's lost their dad, every situation. When it comes to prayer, feel free to take pressure off yourself and make it and just keep it simple. I think that we complicate prayer sometimes. A prayer can be as simple as these four words: God, please help me. A third thing, every Sunday, prayer is available in the back of our church. We have a prayer team. There are always people in the back of the church willing to pray with you. And the people who are praying for you are not there to give you advice. They are there to be to really work at being a conduit from the Holy Spirit to you, to help you hear from God, because that's where the best advice comes from. Okay? So another way to pray is to get prayer in the back of the church. So if you've one, accepted Jesus as your savior, two, you're carving out time for him, three, you're praying, and four, you're reading scripture, that brings us to number five, responding to God. When we're in relationship with Jesus and available to him, we respond to him. And when you do that, really cool stuff can happen. Again, we want to hear from God, not from me. So we're going to go to a different Mark, not this Mark, a different Mark, the biblical Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Here we find the story of Jesus in a boat with his disciples during a storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boats so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Isn't that a great story? Do you know that when you trust in God and respond to him, you are free to live your best life? God tells us in the Bible, "Believe in me and you're going to have trouble." Which I have always thought, well, a pastor once said, "Wouldn't that make a great refrigerator magnet?" And I thought he was right. Boy, that is, because that's my sense of humor. You will have trouble. But in God, you have freedom to weather storms. Having faith in God can help us to live with less fear. And that is so freeing. Whether you have a wayward son who's struggling, whether you have a friend whose dad just died, having faith in God can just free us from fear. John Wimber, one of the founders of the Vineyard that I mentioned earlier, said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Do you get the connection? Place your faith in God and let Him calm those fears. That is a risk. You know, risking everything for God, man, that's a risk worth taking. Here at the Vineyard, we like to keep it real. That's a Vineyard value, wouldn't you say? So I'd like to share a personal example about seeking God's help and responding to Him. About 4 or 5 years ago, I heard from God that He wanted me to set drinking aside. For much of my life, I had had a like-hate relationship with drinking. The hate part was rooted in the fact that I had an ugly family legacy with drinking and addiction in my family. It started with a grandfather who was a mean drunk and abused my grandmother. And man, when that's part of your family history, that's a stain. And so I had this like-hate relationship with drinking. For periods in my life, I abstained from drinking altogether, or I drank in moderation. But looking back, in October of 2008, I had just finished running the Twin Cities Marathon and was in a bad accident, a car accident. I was driving away through down from the marathon course through downtown Minneapolis, and a guy blew through a red light and slammed into me, totaled my car. I had an injury to my hip from that car accident that eventually took away my beloved hobby of running, long distance running. And I loved competing at every distance from a mile to 50 miles. Running for me was very life-giving, and it was gone. And looking back, I think to fill that void in my life, I started drinking more and more. By 2015, I was indulging in a personal happy hour every evening. Happy hour, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? 6 or 7 nights a week, mostly 7. And I eventually heard from God about my drinking. Boy, God can speak to us in amazing ways. Because my wife and I travel back to Minnesota a lot, because when we travel long distance, whether it's to Arizona or Florida or Puerto Rico or Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, when we travel, okay, true confession, we're kind of Vineyard junkies. We come by it honestly because we have tried other churches, but we visit all these different churches. So let me tell you, God works in very mysterious ways. I can't tell you how many times I went into a church here, Puerto Vallarta, Arizona, Florida, went into different churches, and the pastor would be preaching that day, and the pastor would ask, "Is there something getting in between you and God?" I was what you would call convicted as I was listening to those pastors. Every time that question was asked by one of those pastors, and it kept coming up, I mean, all the time. Give me a break here. All the time. Every time I would hear God's small, still small voice in my head. We talk about God's still small voice in my head. "Mark, your drinking is coming between you and me." It was one of those what we call smack my head moments. And it was happening over and over and over again. Nonetheless, I persisted in the evening happy hours. I got to the point where my every evening drinking resulted in me dozing off on the sofa between 9 or 10 at night. I was a sleepy drunk, not a mean drunk like my grandfather, a sleepy drunk. Looking back, I'm sure I was a lot of fun for my wife. Sorry again. Because of this evening drinking, I'd also wake up in the middle of the night, usually at about 2 a.m. It's because of this metabolism, blood sugar type of thing that happens. And I'd wake up at 2 a.m. And I would wake up racked with guilt about my drinking, regretting my drinking, And then my mom, you know, what your mind does at 2 a.m., drifting on to other regrets in life and, you know, torturing myself. It got to the point where I found an effective way to get back to sleep. The only thing that worked, I would pray, God, help me stop drinking. I heard you. I know it's a barrier between you and me. I know that drinking is getting in between me and me living my best life. I know my drinking isn't fair to Carol. I prayed something just like that every night, over and over. God answered my prayer in April of 2017. During one of those 2 a.m. periods, I picked up my iPad off my bedside stand, and there on Facebook was a blog book review. And I quickly realized that the blog book review was for a book called Stop Drinking Now by Alan Carr. This book is part of his series, this Easy Way series. I immediately thought, this is absolutely stupid and ridiculous. During my publishing career, for a time, I worked for the Hazelden Foundation in Central Minnesota, where we did self-help and recovery publishing, and I produced award-winning videos on addiction and recovery, and I understood addiction and substance abuse very well. I studied it hard. I had to, and I was like, the easy way? Stop drinking now? Forget it. This is stupid. What? And I read through the book review, and I immediately clicked on the link, and I immediately downloaded the book into my Kindle app, and I started reading the book, the stupid, ridiculous book. And I know for certain that was God leading me to that book. One of the ways I know that is because quite often when I have a fabulous idea or epiphany that's way outside of my wheelhouse, something I never would have thought of that's awesome, it's God. I fought against that, reading that book tooth and nail as I immediately dove into it, chapter after chapter, immediately realized that, yes, I could set drinking aside. God confirmed for me, drinking's not for you. You don't have to live with this like-hate relationship. Just set it aside. I'm not going to tell you this next story because I want to keep us on track time-wise, but I had God confirm for me in January of 2019 that drinking was not for me. I had a spiritual dream in which very clearly, very personally, and very specifically, God said, yeah, that thing I told you, not for you. And it was, and it gave me peace. You know, I didn't have any fear about setting drinking aside, and I didn't need it anymore. It's been almost 3 years since I set drinking aside, and I still feel so good about it and peaceful, and I just know it's not for me. All right, so that's my example of responding to God. I want to talk a little bit about living horizontally now. We've talked about living vertically. To be spiritually well, we must not only fill the Jesus-shaped hole in our lives through having a relationship with Jesus, we must also pursue God's commandment to love other people. That's that living horizontally part. In Scripture, John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus tells us, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Boy, how's that for simple? I said we wanted to keep it simple. Does Jesus say that every one of you will know that you're my disciples if you vote blue or vote red or you're purple. No. Does Jesus say, everybody will know you're my disciples if you read the King James Version of the Bible or the Message Version or the NIV? No. Does Jesus say that everybody will know that you're my disciples if you're out there just serving people and helping people and doing these good works and chalking up your points for heaven? We've all heard that, right? No. Simply, God directs us to love one another. We are designed for relationship. Some of you are introverts. Some of you, like me, tend more toward extrovert. Some of us are in between. Regardless, God designed you for relationship, for community. The Bible tells us that our home or our family relationships are important. In Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Your home relationships, your family relationships, critical. The Bible tells us that our church community is important. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Because of that, I'm so glad you're here. There's more. God commands us specifically to love our neighbors. For clarity on the question, who exactly is my neighbor? You can turn to the story of the Good Samaritan. Check it out. But we can also look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 30 for insight about who in this world God is directing us to love and care for. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. So, we want to serve God. We want to love our neighbor. Where do we start? If you're living with your eyes and ears wide open, it's easy to see all the need in the world today. There is so much need out there that it can be overwhelming. And as you try to decide where to serve God and how to love your neighbors, I suggest that the response can be, keep it simple. To figure out where to start in serving God and loving on your neighbors, simply ask God in prayer. John Wimber, again, I'm a big John Wimber fan. He used to say, I am just loose change in God's pocket. He can spend me as he pleases. You can turn that into a daily prayer. A daily prayer that you even just offer up to God as you wake up in the morning. Michael Gatlin, the pastor at the Duluth Vineyard Church, adapted Wimber's words to form this daily morning prayer. God, I realize I am just loose change in your pocket. Today, spend me as you please. Here's another take on the same idea. I recently came across this personal prayer on one of my new favorite Facebook pages, Mindful Christianity. Some of you younger people are, Facebook is so old school, I'm long past that, forget about it. One of the ways I keep Facebook fresh is that I constantly reprioritize which pages I see first. And I feel like God's often prompting me, switch it up. So Mindful Christianity is a page I'm liking right now. There I found this prayer that you could pray every morning. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself. So I hope you'll think about a personal prayer like this, like one of these, that you could pray to God for guidance about how you can serve him, how you can love on your neighbors. You know, look to God for the answer. In closing, I'd like for us to collectively pray. That's one way we could pray. There are so many wonderful ways to pray, but one way is through collective prayer. And on the screen, we're showing a prayer that I'm borrowing from one of our former Vineyard Milwaukee people, one of our former members, Chris Ruhr. He's now a lead pastor at a church in Maryland. And I'd like for us to pray collectively as a church for spiritual wellness in the year 2020. As we are moving into this new year, man, lately I've been just collecting all these observations about what a tough world this is right now. Climate change, the conflict with Iran, people not being able to pay for their medical bills and their prescriptions, and our suffering migrants and refugees at the border, and people not being able to make a living wage, and just so much. And somehow, my response to that is countercultural. It's, wow, what a great time to rely on God. And thank God that we have Jesus. Thank God we have a Holy Spirit in our midst that we can rely on, because how else do we deal with all this? Man, it's a mess out there. But coming into this new year, I've just felt this, oh, I don't know what it is, just in my gut, just like, wow, what a great time to rely on God. And man, I want to press in, and I want to work on that vertical relationship with Jesus. And I want to work on my horizontal relationship with others and loving my neighbor well. Man, because there's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's loving God and there's loving our neighbors. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So in that spirit, I think we've got this on the screen. Let's collectively pray out loud. I pray that this new year will be blessed with amazing opportunities for me to experience and express the perfect love of God. Amen. All right, so next, Greg and the worship team are going to lead us in extended worship. At any time from now until you leave today, if you want prayer or need prayer, maybe you don't want it, but you need it. Either way, a few of us will be available in the back to pray for you. And like I said earlier, if you want to accept Jesus into your life today for the first time, I'd urge you to talk to one of our pastors, Dave or Rebecca, Adrian. Also, anybody from our prayer team would be glad to talk to you about that as well and pray about that. If you wish to take communion today, the elements are on the back table. If you're visiting us today, please fill out a Connect card. They're available in the back of the chair in front of you, and place that in the black box on the back wall. If this is your church home and you'd like to give an offering, our offering is another expression of our worship to God. You can put your offering in the black box in the back, but you can also give online through our church's website. All right. God bless all of you, and thank you for worshiping at the Milwaukee Vineyard today.